before full execution. And that's essentially, that's a technical amendment. Phil, if you want to explain that, the position of the real estate division on that, they can...
One of the difficulties is that the seller often does not know when an agreement has been signed. Essentially, the seller, the purchaser, in the arrangement of the signing, it could be the case that the period, cancellation period, would begin running, and the seller and the purchaser might be unaware of that. So to make it consistent with other changes that we've made in the bill, the real estate division suggested that we change that language to read not later than the date of the signing of the this unit sales agreement is fully executed. And that is then consistent with other changes that we have made in the bill.
That does that really is hooked up to our Section 21 recommendation, so that one change into
Well, there, see, that's the only change. This is the rest of this all existing language.
Yeah, those are things that have sort of been moved along to amend the various sections to make the...
Now, you want to go back to that section?
Yeah, I'd like to go back to Section 27, if you will, on page 19. And this is an amendment which has been forwarded from, as I understand, the real estate division.
We don't...
That's page 19, after line 7, add a new subsection 7 as follows.
Wait a second. Mm-mm. We don't have that.
Well, you have it there, but it's not yellowed.
No, it isn't here.
It isn't here.
Page 19? Nothing there?
Nothing on 19.
7. The new sub 7 is on 20 after line 7 on page... What is...
Oh, it's
on
page, okay, it's page 20 then, instead of 19. Excuse me. Page 20 after line 7. There's your new subsection 7,
okay,
which...
He's waiting for the...
And I guess I'll let Phil go through this in terms of that. It has to do with when the ownership changes, and it's it is a. I guess what I'd like to say is that it seems not particularly needed, and you want to go ahead with that, Phil. I've left my notes in fact.
What Section 27 does is describe the material that needs to be turned over to the homeowners association at the time administrative control of that association is turned over from the declarant, i.e. the developer, to the residents of the planned community. The home builders have been quite concerned that should they meet all the requirements and the residents who are members of the homeowners association decide for some reason that they don't feel like electing a board of directors and assuming the administrative responsibility, that the declarant could in fact be stuck for some period of time running this entire condominium, when in fact the declarant would simply has met all the requirements under the law and would like to turn administrative control over. This is intended to absolve the declarant of any responsibility for the administration of the condominium after that declarant has complied with all these requirements. We did check with principally with the lenders about the contents of this amendment, and they have assured us that they would not have any problems with this amendment. What would happen would be if a person were trying to purchase a unit in a condominium that had no effective administrative control either by the declarant or by the residents, that lenders would simply not make loans for the purchase of an individual unit, given that the turnover occurs at 75% of when the time 75% of the units are sold. That would mean a declarant would, in essence, absolve himself of administrative responsibility and at the same time be willing to not sell the remaining 25% of his units.
So, while you don't think that's greatly needed, it might clarify the responsibility. Okay.
Yes, that's the only error that I am uneasy about. And to tell you frankly, I'm not sure what it does. I don't know whether we've left a little hole here that something's that we've created a phase in there where no one has the responsibility. I'm not sure about that, and I guess that it seems, as much as we can check, that it doesn't do any harm, that it does specify some clear. But remember, we are dealing with a law that's been in existence since 63, and so that when, you know, it's not as if we don't add this Section 27 amendment that anything's going to change or fall apart either. So I guess that's how I feel about it. I would recommend that the other amendments that we've presented to you that are outlined in yellow, at least at a minimum, be adopted by your committee and put forward with the bill. And again, I would like to stress that this one, the condominium law revision, has been worked over by attorneys who are practicing in that law and who have worked as an ad hoc committee during the interim as well.
Actually, this section that you're talking about just says that if they do everything including having these meetings, but in effect, if the unit owners fail at the turnover meeting to elect a board of directors, that's no problem.
Right. So I guess that's where I am, and that's how carefully, yeah, I think we've examined this bill to make sure that we have alerted you to anything at all that we feel.
So it's actually, that would be more explicit. I mean,
yes,
what it's really saying is subsection 4, sub B, because that's the only place in which the association members act,
right,
or fail to act, is,
right,
when if they don't elect somebody as they should.
Right. So that, you know, I really don't think
that's
any harm.
I don't think that's any problem, right.
That's where we are. Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
On page 23, section 34, sub 1, unless they're making public reports.
That's existing language, remember.
I was just trying to find out who was going to waive that.
It would be the real estate division.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Simmons, it would be waived by the real estate division.
I would assume that might be referred to in a paragraph we're not looking at here.
And Ms. Collins is here from the real estate division if you have further questions on that.
I presume that there is, in a previous section of the law, provision of the right of the real estate division to waive. Is that right? The report, I think that's what it's referring to.
Now, am I correct in assuming that where there is a yellow, that reverses the action that's taken?
No. The real estate division has proposed an amendment to ORS 91.626, which would consist of striking in subsection 2 the words prior to the execution and so forth, and in lieu thereof inserting not later than the date the unit sales agreement is fully executed by the parties. That has been a proposed amendment. And Representative Cohen has said they think that amendment, we ought to accept that amendment.
Oh, I see. The yellow means that we accept it.
Yes. Yes.
Right. It's our recommendation that
we
accept. After having thoroughly checked them out, I was
Well, now back on page 6, though, where there's some yellow here,
they are the original.
It's been deleted originally. The yellow means we put it back in.
That they recommended we put it back in, yes.
So in some places the yellow means that we reverse the amendment, and some
you'll see.
The squiggly lines means we put it back in, and the yellow means she agrees that we put it back in.
The real estate division recommended.
The squiggly lines are intended to cross out these brackets.
Yeah, but not these brackets.
Oh, well, I think they're intended
to cross out. I think there was an error there, yes.
An error. Those should be crossed out as well.
We'll check on this. Could we have Ms. Kahn come up now? We'll get your comments on it. Obviously, you'd agree to all the things they've agreed to, but you'd have some others that you think,
yes,
we should accept.
I'm just trying to figure out what isn't there.
Let me direct your attention first to page 6, lines 18. And lines 19, apparently there's some error there in the printing, because the proposal would be to restore the reference to, wait a second, this is not your proposal.
Yes, it is. The problem was that these are...
Well, let me just say, do we want to restore the words,
yes,
and floor plans,
yes,
in both, in those three places?
Yes.
Regardless of the color mark here, okay.
I just don't understand what.
No, no, the yellow meant, in effect, that these were changes in A and Gross House Bill 3132 that Representative Cologne would recommend to us that we accept. And the other changes you find marked, the additional changes you find marked on here were ones that were proposed by the Real Estate Division, which Representative Cologne didn't think were necessary for one reason or another, or raised questions that we had no time to explore. Now.
And there's nothing else on that page, frankly.
Right. Now, what if we could just buzz along here on page 3, line 34, they did not recommend that we insert or created by. Is that a significant problem?
Yes, I think it is. I'm not sure that it will bring the developments to a screeching halt, but it is possible. My concern is that the declarant, some of the things that might be reserved in the declaration wouldn't be a personal thing for the development, to the developer as an individual. An example of a personal kind of a right would be to have a sales office and to go through and construct this kind of thing. But it's not uncommon that they may want to reserve some rights for adjacent property, for, in other words, an easement for access to adjacent piece of property. And we would not want to have any way have that construed to be not for the benefit of, you know, just that he could only do it when it was for his benefit, instead of perhaps for adjacent property. And that's why we
But the term declarant right means a right for the declarant, doesn't it?
It means a right, but it's really a right that he is reserving for his benefit or is created by the declaration. And there's times when they need to put a variety of different kinds of things in. And like I said, it's just something I am concerned about, and if
it doesn't make much difference one way or the other, we could put it in, right?
I think it would be safer to put it in, and so that they would have the ability to create rights that might be, perhaps, I don't know, Senator Gardner, you maybe understand what I'm concerned about. And maybe I'm really very cautious on these kinds of things.
Do you have any problem with that, Joyce?
Well, no, except that I'm not sure we've had, the problem that I have is we haven't had a chance to run this by David Feuerstein and Howard.
I've already discussed that with them.
I am even more cautious than Barbara to move out into some of these areas that in words that
this might
that I have a concern about. And I'm not, I advocate one way or another. I'm just listing for you the major changes that we support, we think are important.
I don't see how it could hurt it. I mean, it would remove any gloss on it that would limit it unduly. So
there's no point in limiting it, is there?
No, that's what she doesn't want it, and I think she's right. I think we ought to put the words in there.
I'm not here. All I'm saying, we tried to eliminate as many of the nitpicky things as possible. Okay.
All right. The next one is we already looked on page 6. The
can we highlight that one in yellow now?
Yeah.
Where's my highlighter?
I don't have a highlighter.
I write yellow beside it.
Yeah. On page 6, we've already looked at the addition of the words floor plans. Let's move now to page 8, line 36. Mm-hmm. And
I can live without that.
I don't think we have any problems with it.
Let's
put it in. Make it yellow.
Let's leave it alone then.
Okay.
Let's turn now to page 9. The I couldn't see the significance of your rewriting of line 19.
May I explain? This would require that the bylaws give a little more detail on how the documents were going to be kept, in addition to just the financial statement. There were amendments in A and Gross when it was passed out, requiring the association to have certain documents, keep certain documents available for copies, this kind of thing. And I felt that it might be prudent to have the bylaws maybe give a little more direction to how this was going to be done.
This is additional documents.
Yes,
and
yes.
And it provides for distribution.
Right, before it was limited just to the financial statement. And 91554 was amended to encompass some other things.
Well, this says the bylaws have to cover preparation,
right.
Maintenance, distribution of the documents, informations, and records that are already required.
Right, and it's...
Well, I think you're adding, we tried to be limited in the requirements that we needed of the developer as we could, and so our effort, you know, in terms of saying let's not expand it to more words than necessary, you know, more information than necessary, and that's what, I think that's where we...
Well, this isn't what the developer's going to have to do. It was just guidance for the homeowners association, whether the secretary was going to do who the secretary responsibility for doing the copies, that kind of thing. And I don't have any that strong a feeling. I just felt it might be helpful for the association to know when they got along the way that the secretary would do the copies, or otherwise it may not be addressed at all.
I must say my own reaction here was that I thought that we could go overboard in being picky about describing every little thing, and I hope that we could keep this as simple. That's the reason why I raised some questions about some of those. All right, let's go to page 11. I think that's a little thing on page 10, line 32. You want to strike out the V.
That's fine.
Include that one.
You want to include that? All right, we'll strike out the V. All right. Page 11, line 28. Mm-hmm. What's the significance?
You've ascertained that this will not be a problem
with that
fetch aid. Okay.
For Derek?
So we can leave it out?
The private or professional management, there was a concern that FHA might feel they were subject to this provision, and Phil has taken care of that. We do need the words of the condominium in here to, technically, so to allow this section to be excluded in an overall exclusion we have for commercial industrial property. It's a technical, mm-hmm. We need to have the word condominium in here because in another section we say the word condominium does not include industrial or commercial, and we do not want this section to apply to industrial or commercial property.
Mm-hmm. There are other turnover meetings that might be.
We do not want there was never any intent in this bill in 2013 to have the turnover meeting, any of that kind of thing be applied to commercial industrial projects.
What about private or professional?
That we do not need that, Phil.
Okay.
We'd recommend that then that you yellow of the condominium after the word meeting and you delete and you do not accept private or professional, because I think that is limiting, and FHA, we have made calls to Seattle, that's not necessary, not appropriate.
All right.
Yellowing is a term of art since we have the magic marker.
Yellowing is defined as putting a circle around it in black ink.
For the purposes of this section. We didn't yellow on page 9. That was that district, the bylaws requirement.
No, we did not yellow that.
That's non-yellow.
Now, page 12, section 35, section 17, starting on line 35, you propose to strike all of that.
Yes.
And Joyce, you didn't think that should be struck.
Well, we're also striking parts of existing law and...
We're just striking the amendments to existing law.
We just want to leave it the way it is.
Yes.
Just leave the law the way it is.
So what you're doing is eliminating the amendment, which is on the top of page 13, which adds a portion of the property may be removed from the provisions,
yes,
and so forth by amendment to the declaration, so forth.
Yes.
And there's some more down here that's in bold phrase.
And then farther down, it's hard to read sometimes, tell what's... You're also striking lines 21, on page 13, lines 21 through 31.
Correct. And I testified the other day that even we're anticipating there are going to be some partial removals, but we've had subsequent to the time this bill was even introduced, some other fact situations, and we're just not satisfied this is going to do, be helpful. We just think we better think it through a little bit better. Plus, the additional factor, there were some percentages specified in here, and recently some, Mr. Fierstein had mentioned when he reviewed some Fannie Mae problems, and I said, well, I think we're going to suggest taking them out, so we didn't try to deal with that problem.
Is this not deleting the double file, the filing?
This is just, no.
Okay.
If you accepted the amendment proposed by the real estate division, you would in effect be striking the new language, which occurs from on page 13 from lines 1 through 6, and I think there's some other language inserted, I can't quite tell.
Well, I don't have any problem going back to the original line.
That's all we'll do.
In the sense of that, what I'm concerned about is moving forward in any way.
That's what I don't want to do.
This
that's exactly why I don't want to do.
The existing language in 91.584 and would refrain from adding any new language to that section.
Correct, for the very reason that Representative Cohen is concerned, I am too.
Okay, that's acceptable. All right, we will yellow.
Existing language.
Yeah. We will write yellow on section 17.
Back in.
And we will eliminate it, in other words. We will eliminate section 17 of the bill. And section 18 of the bill, so we will be eliminating everything down on page 13 down through line 31 will all be eliminated. Now, the next change is on line 33, page 13, in which the reference to RS 91.524.
That's what we're discussing right now.
Is struck.
Yes, that is consistent with the, that should be taken out because that's consistent with House Bill 2787 that is already passed. They have deleted that out.
It's essentially a conflict amendment then, right?
Yeah.
91.584.
So that's taken out.
With the bill that's already passed.
Oh. Oh, so we yellow 91.524.
Right.
We accept it.
Right.
All right.
And then
now on page 14.
Here.
Right?
Yeah. Excuse me. You're working from your
We've
set,
already
so
done that one.
Okay.
Well.
Isn't that right?
Yeah. Yes. We. I take it that we accepted the revised section 21, which included striking out the old subsection 1 and inserting the new.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about this little one up? Is this a on page 14, line 14, the change there, what's that related to?
On line 14?
The three.
The receipt, the documents given at two different times here, and there's some additional documents that must be given before closing, and the change is going to make it so the developer must get a receipt when he gives that first copy.
Well, I'm trying to figure out what that change is.
What it is, it's restoring the reference to subsection 1.
It should then read, the developer should take a receipt from the purchase upon the delivery of the documents referred to in subsection 1 of this section.
Yes. That is important because he's required to keep a receipt, and it's tied into the time when the rescission, the 5-day rescission period would start. So it's important that that receipt be taken when he gives the documents in subsection 1 rather than the documents in 3.
Is that an error or?
No, we revised the rescission procedure.
I don't know what you're talking. I'm lost on this one.
it would say that, just read, line 14 would read, "2 in subsection 1 of this section."
Correct. And the reason it's particularly confusing is that there are also documents given out under subsection 3, but we're not requiring that a receipt be taken at that time for those documents.
Deed, lease, any ground, was that an error then, or how did
No, it wasn't, because originally we weren't going to require a receipt for the delivery of the first series of documents. But since we have adjusted, we're suggesting you adjust the rescission time, it's critical that they have a receipt.
Okay. Oh, that's what it's for. It's to
Correct.
Compute the rescission time.
Right, right.
Yellow
material.
That's just the renumbering.
All right, the ones on page 15, line 12 is a renumbering.
Mr. Chairman?
That should be included, yes.
Is that page 14, line 14, now yellow?
Yeah. Line 14,
it's conforming,
yes.
With the
That's correct. That should be yellow.
It's a conforming aspect of the section 20.
All right. On page 15, the change in the numbering should, of course, be yellow, the 8.
Lines 12 and 15.
12 and 15, the correct reference should be yellow, 18. We've already seen the ones on page 16. We move down to lines 13. Should that have been accepted? I'm on page 16. Line 3 down at the bottom in the suggested procedure and the instructions. A copy of the declaration and bylaws and any supplements and amendments thereto are available from the association.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I guess that would be a policy change from what the committee left the bill, in the sense that we wish that the seller would have the prime responsibility to deliver the documents, and that the unit owners association would be made clear in the notice that the seller had was going to deliver them, and then further that the association unit owners make them available for examination and duplication.
Now this is these are instructions in effect to the buyer, right?
That's Betty about that.
Before executing this agreement.
You sure that's a policy change? Looks to me like just a rewording of that should the seller fail to sentence. Because you already said Oregon law that the developer to deliver to you a copy, declaration, bylaws, and any amendments. Then you say, should the seller fail to deliver these, Oregon law requires the unit owners association make them available, and all you're saying here is a copy of them is available from the association.
Yes, I was concerned.
I don't think that's a change. I think that's the same sentence rewritten.
And it's confusing because it sounds like should the seller fail. I mean, there isn't any. I mean, he's not supposed to fail, number one, and number two, it's really not affirmatively putting the association on any duty to provide in the event the developer doesn't. It's simply they have to provide copies if requested.
Okay. Yeah, but I think there's a policy decision in terms of the seller affects any seller who sells subsequently a condominium, any seller, and we're talking about developer I think there are, well,
nice.
Again, you know, this is the question of a very nitpicky sort of change, but I think when you begin to change words, what we're asking and what we're...
The only time this is going to be given out is to this. The only time this notice is being given out is by the developer, and he has got to the original declarant or someone who has purchased for the purpose of resale. So the only time the purchaser is ever going to see this notice is when he's dealing with someone who's required by law to give out the documents,
like the resale person.
I really
the original developer or the.
Well, you've changed seller to developer in line 40. And then you refer to seller again in line 3 if you leave the old wording in.
I mean, this notice is only going to be given from the original person or...
Discussion about that since you've worked on this only.
I guess maybe I just don't understand.
It was my understanding that there was no responsibility on any seller now, other than the developer and anybody buying for resale. And to that extent,
it's okay then.
You don't need that sentence, because what Barbara has said is correct. The only people who will be distributing this form, this notice, will be the developer or somebody who was a purchaser for resale. I think that when this language was changed, that fact was not remembered. That is, it was a thought that if it hadn't been done, then this would be a reminder. So I would say, I mean, either with it or without it, was not a policy matter.
Okay.
Right.
Well, at that point in time, I say, fine, whatever.
All right.
Well, I don't.
We're picking and picking here. What should we say?
We're picking because we don't like this bill.
How about yellowing?
Yellowing, yellow.
Okay.
There are a couple of areas.
We'll yellow it. Now, we move to page 17. The new language which is proposed following line 27. Subject to subsection 2 of this section, the declaration may provide for a period of declarant control of association of unit owners, during which period a declarant or persons designated by the declarant may appoint and remove officers and members of the board of directors, the original language said, and may exercise powers and responsibilities otherwise assigned, so forth. You want to say, may appoint and remove officers and members of the board of directors, allocate greater voting rights to units owned by the declarant, approve amendments to the declaration bylaws, and exercise powers, and so forth.